Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jared Kelnick could be making his Mariners debut sooner than anyone expected. And by sooner than you expected, I mean this week. I mean Thursday. It could be happening. Joining us right now to help us learn a bit more about Kelnick, as well as a few other Mariners prospects we'll see this year, it is Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. Sooner than expected, according to who? Haven't people been calling for this for like a year and a half now?
True. That's you are right there. I mean, Jake is among them. People who've been calling for it. Jonathan, I've got to be totally honest, though. Jake and I made a bet, and I took the over on the, what did I do, Jake? End of May? Basically, I took after May 15th.
You know, you're really giving yourself a lot of weight here. We were talking after June 15th. You said after
June 15th. I said June 15th. Jonathan, yes. I think that Jake is lying. He's misremembering this. The point is, Jonathan, I think some people are surprised. Now, were you? Genuinely, were you surprised, or is this kind of the pace you were expecting?
I know it was about the pace, you know, and I don't know if they tried to time it for any reason. Maybe it's slightly surprising that, you know, he didn't have to sign a contract extension before getting called up. You know, based on what he has done, you know, I think it was clear. I think it was clear last year that he could have competed, but there wasn't really the need to call him up, and he wasn't playing in real games. So it was hard to know for sure. And then how he performed this spring and then in the outset in the AAA season, it was clear that he doesn't really have anything left to prove at that level. And it was time to sort of challenge him and see what he could do to help the Mariners at the big league level.
Now, Jonathan, no one knows what the correct timing is or what the perfect formula is to bring up a prospect. And that's what makes this Kelnick situation so intriguing to me, is because when you talk about the number of at-bats, you go through the numbers, it's very unique to see him fast-track the way that he has through the minor league level. Do you anticipate that Kelnick is going to experience some legitimate adversity at the big league level, or do you see this guy as, even with the limited amount of at-bats and everything else, that he comes up and he performs well out of the gate?
I mean, you have to believe that at some point he's going to face some adversity. He hasn't yet in terms of performance. And, you know, that was the one thing that I think he knew that he would have to see how he did. But, you know, he's such a good hitter. He's such an advanced hitter. And he's so confident that I think that's going to help kind of limit the amount of time he has where he might be really struggling. And, you know, he's good at so many different things that even if he's not swinging the bat all that well, he can do things with his legs. He's, you know, become a much better defender. He's got a good arm. He can help a team win, even if he's slumping a little bit at the plate. But I think that he has the tools that will help him kind of mitigate any slump and keep them from being too lengthy.
Now, Jonathan, I had the rare opportunity, it seems now, that I got to see him at the AAA level, and I saw some of that. I saw some of that advanced hitting or that advanced approach, but what does that mean? When you say that, what exactly are you referring to?
I think, you know, in a nutshell, it means that he doesn't get himself out that often. You know, is he going to look foolish occasionally on a really nasty breaking ball? Of course. I mean, you know, even the best hitters fail, you know, 7/10 of the time. But, you know, he works counts. When he gets a pitch to hit, he doesn't miss it very often. You know, sometimes a guy can be really good at working counts and drawing walks, but then they get too passive. Mm. He's not like that. If he sees a fastball, you know, that catches a lot of plate early, he knows what to do with it. And, you know, one of the biggest things was a step forward for him was learning how to turn on and pull inside fastballs so he can hit those out to his pull side. The power is the thing that's probably come the most quickly and that often tends to take longer. He showed more power in the brief time he was in the minors than I think people expected coming out of high school, you know, right out of the gate. But, you know, overall, you know, I think really it just means that he works the counts, he gets good pitches to hit, and when given the opportunity, he tends to get the barrel of the bat on the baseball more often than not. I don't know that I've seen a prospect recently, who is so consistently making hard contact.
Wow. I want to shift gears, talk about Kelnick as a personality, right? Like, it's because, I mean, he has a lot of it. I loved what you wrote in your feature for MLB.com. You guys can find it at MLB Pipeline, too. He's never lacked confidence, with a swagger that always falls short of being too cocky for his own good. And it was clear he was out to prove just how good of a player he could be. I loved the description, because I think that a lot of people would say, everything I've heard about Jared Kelnick, this guy's got a lot of confidence. Real, real confident, a lot of attitude, but he's able to back it up so far. I think I was really intrigued by the part of your article where you talked about potentially the challenge that could be, that he was asked to be a leader in the clubhouse and that he met those expectations. What were you hearing about him meeting those expectations? Because that's been the part I'm equally curious about.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I think, you know, the players who become great players, and it remains to be seen, you know, this is all kind of on paper. We don't know what kind of big leaguer he's going to be. And we've all seen players who you're certain, like, oh, they're destined for stardom, and they don't, and vice versa. But the combination of tools and confidence to maximize, you know, to get to those tools and use those tools gives me a greater confidence that he's going to maximize his ability. And I think, you know, really what it means is, you know, listen, he came out of the gate and was so good. And, you know, he played across three levels his first full season. So he's in Double A, and he's like the youngest guy there. He goes to the Fall League. He doesn't get to play much there because of, you know, the wisdom teeth thing, and then he gets a little dinged up, and he had a long season anyway. But even there, he was like, I feel like I'm ready to compete at the big league level. He knew he hadn't faced any adversity. And in terms of the leadership, it was a thing that when I talked to Mariners about, like, all right, well, what does he still need to do? It was clear to me that they felt he didn't need to do all that much other than get some reps from on the field, how he swung the bat, how he played the outfield. His defense has gotten better, you know. Base running is really good. All those things, he checked off all those boxes. But, you know, you in a perfect world, the guy who's arguably the best player on the field on any given day, you want him to assume certain amounts of leadership. And I think they knew that he had it in him because he had that confidence. And I think it was a matter of sort of taking what was more of an inner confidence. And that's why I said it always fell short of being like that too overly cocky where someone's going to want to knock his block off, that he could be a leader because he plays with such intensity. He plays hard all the time, that he can bring other people along for the ride, and learning to build those sort of leadership abilities. He's not going to set foot in the clubhouse, you know, on Thursday and be like, all right, this is my clubhouse now. He knows that it'll take time to assume that kind of role. But I do think that the sort of fieriness that he brings to the game can be contagious if it's spread the right way. And I think that's what he worked on, and that's what he was able to show. You know, even last year in the alternate site, when he was, you know, one of the youngest guys there, he still exuded certain leadership qualities that the Mariners front office covets.
Jonathan, there's a lot of intriguing names right now in the Mariners farm system, and it's great to say that as someone who is covering the Mariners, has been a Mariners fan for my entire life, and it's certainly a big shift and change for the past, you know, 20 years, essentially. But, you know, we'll get to Julio Rodriguez here in a second, but who is the next, you know, who's the next in line from this farm system ready to come up to the Mariners, come up to the big league level, and what are your overall impressions of them?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Like, normally you bring up a guy like Jared Kelnick, and then you're like, all right, well, that's it. But, I have to say it's probably Logan Gilbert. You know, the Mariners went very heavy in college pitching 3 years in a row in the first round. They got Gilbert in 2018. I think he would have been in the big leagues last year, if not for the shutdown. He's just nasty. You know, we're talking from a 6'6" frame, four above average to plus pitches. He's got a fastball up into the upper 90s. And one of the things, you know, we talk about leadership, that stood out, that, you know, people in the player development side told me about him, is that he's kind of set the bar for pairing among all minor league pitchers at a really, really high bar. No one is going to outwork this guy. And he's got ridiculous stuff in that 6'6" frame to boot. So this is the guy who also is going to be a leader among the pitching staff once he gets to the big leagues, and you know, has already shown the ability to make other pitchers around him better. There are other really good pitching prospects, like a step behind him, who took huge strides during the offseason and in the spring training because they were following his lead in terms of working out and preparedness. And you know, so when you combine that with just the nasty, nasty stuff, this is a guy who has a chance to pitch at or close to the front of the Mariners' rotation. And, I think it's going to be the kind of thing, it's like when there's a need, he'll be ready to get big league hitters out.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey. We're speaking with Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline. Jonathan, one of the coolest things, I think, about your job is, yes, there are a lot of prospects that don't work out. Like for any team, there are a lot of prospects you're going to see, and there's work that's put in, and then for some reason or another, injury, whatever it is, it just doesn't work out. But you also get to see the beginnings of a lot of stars at a time when no one else gets to see it. And I remember talking with Rick Riz once about one of the just personally the coolest things he'd seen or the most special things he'd seen. And he described seeing Ken Griffey Jr. at spring training. It was just like hitting, I think it was like a single or a double. It wasn't anything on paper that was exceptional, but he remembered watching him and thinking in that moment, this person's different. And you weren't guaranteed he'd be different, but he felt different. When's maybe a moment that stands out to you? It could be the last time. It could be just the first thing that comes to mind when you thought, this person feels different. I might actually be seeing something this time.
Wow. You know, Stacey, I've been doing this a long time. So that's a lot of players.
A lot of guys.
a lot of guys to sift through in a hurry.
I know.
I mean, I'd love to say like, oh, the first time I laid eyes on Mike Trout. But to be honest with you, the first time I saw him play was in the fall league after a really, really long season. And he was tired and he didn't play well. So I will not pick him.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two names really quickly. One sort of not like super, superstar, but I remember years ago I was at an SEC tournament because I do a lot of, you know, on the draft.
Yeah.
And I saw Lance Lynn pitching. His rotation in college had him and this other pitcher who had better stuff, but the other pitcher had begged out of a start because he was feeling under the weather. And I remember the guy at the school, the SID, was kind of like, Lance Lynn would be the kind of guy that if he, you know, had a stomach bug, would step off the mound, throw up, and get back on the mound and throw a 3-hit shutout. And I was like, and then I saw him pitch in the SEC tournament, and like, you know, he didn't have the best stuff he'd ever seen, but just the way he competed, you knew he was going to be very good. So I was glad that you know, that worked out. And then I think, you know, the only other guy that really comes to mind that's not really going out on a limb is Vladdy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him hit. And I still remember I was in New Hampshire when he was in AA, when MLB Network. And I don't know if you guys have seen this video, but where he could do this exercise where he would put a tee on home plate and not with any kind of windup, just regular stance, hit the ball off of a tee over the fence to the opposite field. And so Carlos Pena was the analyst there, and you know, Carlos hasn't played in a few years, but still in really good shape. He did like a Happy Gilmore, like run up to the tee kind of deal. And he one hopped the fence to his pull side. And Vladdy was doing it as if, and I was like, I've never seen, it was just, you know, because his bat, he had so much bat speed, he had so much torque, and his hands were so quick, and his wrists were so strong. I was like, holy cow. And, you know, he's the first prospect we ever gave an 80 hit grade to. And I remember just watching him going, and then in the game I saw, you know, of a couple games I saw, everything he hit was hard. And I'm like, yep, okay, well, I think he's going to live up to that. And I think he's starting to show that now.
Yeah,
awesome stories.
That is awesome. Yeah, thanks for taking us through memory lane there with you, Jonathan. That is awesome. One of the guys that we hope you say that about, you know, one of the guys that you put a feather in your cap that you've seen and saw from the beginning is Julio Rodriguez, who is one of the you know, major prospects and the top prospect now if Kelnick is up with the big league club tomorrow. What have you seen from him, and do you see him potentially maybe taking the fast track route through the minors like Kelnick did, or do you see him having to take more of a more slow process to get himself up to the big league level?
Yeah, I think he's going to force their hand sooner rather than later. I was actually a little surprised that he didn't start the year in Double A. And even though he got off to, a slightly slow start, now, of course, he's back to hitting and doing the things that Julio Rodriguez does. I think he's going to – I don't know if they just wanted him to get like a hit the ground running and dominate and before they pushed him to Double A since he hadn't played above A ball. But if this guy isn't a superstar in every sense of the word, I'm going to be shocked. I mean, and wow. Listen, we went back and forth in terms of who to rank first. And, you could talk to 30 scouts and you might get a whole bunch of different opinions between whether you put Julio first or Jared Kelnick first. And I still think you could flip a coin. It's not just the skills. I mean, he's got ridiculous power. Talk about bat speed. Holy cow. He works very hard at every aspect of the game. Like he's worked very hard to get faster. That's not something you hear very often, especially for a guy who can hit like that. He could just show up and be like, well, put me in a corner outfield, I'm good. And he plays the game with such enthusiasm and joy that you talked about, rubbing off. And I think he and Kelnick kind of will be a really good kind of combo platter. And the two of them feed off of each other, even though it's a different kind of intensity. And I think Julio will help Kelnick have a little more fun, and Kelnick is going to get the best out of Julio. So it's going to be a lot of fun in Seattle. But, my guess is he makes his way up to Double A, and then please don't bet on the over-under here, Stacey. Please don't do that. But if you saw
I have a problem.
If you saw him in September, it wouldn't shock me. But it also wouldn't surprise me if, say, they give him a chance to make the club the beginning of next year. And that depends on what's going on with big league personnel and how the team is doing, obviously. But, man, he's so much fun. This is a kid who, when he, first got to the States, he's a teenager. He'd get his workout done or they'd have him, or whatever. This was before minor league games had started. Wasn't in big league camp. And he would voluntarily go and watch the big league team play just because he wanted to be around it. And he knew guys that were in big league camp, period. He didn't know. He wasn't told to do it. He just wanted to be around it. And he's like that all the time. Even how he's worked on his English. This is a guy who wanted to be sure that he could represent himself in two languages, and I can barely represent myself with one, so I tip my cap to him all the time.
He is Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline. Jonathan, it has been a pleasure, seriously. I'm speaking for Jake, too. We've really enjoyed this conversation, not just because you're fun to talk to, but it's nice to get to know a bit more about these guys that we haven't had a chance to really see a lot of, and they could be superstars here, right? It's the beginning, potentially, of something, and you've given us so much information and insight. We can't thank you enough.
My pleasure. We barely scratched the surface. This is a deep system. We could have me on. I'll come on again. We'll talk about some of the other guys.
Oh, we would love to. Count on that.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much,
Jonathan,
for coming on with us.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Man, that answer on Julio. Whew! If you don't have chills as a Mariners fan, I don't know what's wrong with you. All right, 1:15, it's time for some NFL headlines. We'll speed through these. The NFL is returning to London. Jets, Falcons, and Finns, Jags are going to kick off that
Come on,
slate.
Stacey, this was your chance to give it with your British accent.
Oh, no, wait, I take it back. The NFL is returning to London, and the
I'm
Jets
sorry, everybody.
And
I shouldn't,
Falcons and the Dolphins and Jags will kick off in the other side of the pond.
I'm sorry, guys. I should not have reminded Stacey about this. I apologize.
NFL?
I apologize.
Next.
Okay.
I was ready to move on. I was like, look,
good.
I dug this hole. I dug it so deep I can't get out. Jake, actually, I'm going to let you sound off on this one because I know it's going to get you going. Urban Meyer says that Tim Tebow shined in workouts. Cut number 5. Oof. Here's what he had to say.
He was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet.
Jake, we just spoke
with Jonathan. You haven't? It sounds like you pretty much have, Urban. I'm pretty sure you're confident that you're going to sign Tim Tebow with a comment like that.
Your conspiracy theory is my favorite thing.
I want you to notice, how many times he said, I was not there? Stacey, I wasn't there. So the bias doesn't kick in because I wasn't even there at the workouts. I didn't even see him, okay? These were other people that were saying this about Tim Tebow, okay? I wasn't there. Urban Meyer, look, these are other people that are telling me this. Not me. I got my hands tied behind my back. I was saying, no, don't sign Tim. But the coaches were like, this guy's unbelievable. He's 18 years old, not 33.
If you guys are watching the stream, the live stream, 710sports.com/video, you'll notice that when Jake gets really fired up about something, like he does with Tebow at tight end for the Jags, he moves closer and closer to the camera and just gets a ton of rage. He didn't even see him!
Well, here's my honest assessment of this.
Okay.
When it comes to Tim Tebow, he is one of the fiercest competitors that this sport has ever seen. Seriously.
Yeah.
College football, NFL, you can't take that away from him. He genuinely is a special type of elite competitor. Now, how that translates into playing the tight end position after not playing an NFL game, not with a team or playing preseason, but an NFL regular season game. It's been 8 seasons. It's been 8. And I don't know how all of a sudden he just got really good hands. I think it's going to be everybody's going to want to see what Tim Tebow's going to do. And this is the smart move by Urban Meyer is, look, you're down there in Jacksonville. Tim Tebow is a god down there. He is somebody that everybody and their mom is going to want to come out and watch and see. They're going to want to get Tim Tebow autographs. And even if he doesn't make the team, it has brought more eyes to the Jags, even with Trevor Lawrence being there. So overall, I think this is a win for Urban Meyer, regardless of what happens. And I'm going to say, I mean, I'm going to put out there that he doesn't make the 53-man roster legitimately. But I always have a hard time when I know that there are very, very good, talented players out there looking for their shot. And they're not going to be able to get one because of a relationship, because of a, you know, former coach doing his guy a solid. But with that being said, if Tim Tebow goes out there and earns a spot and he's legit, hats off to him.
Jake, they often say that you become your most athletic at 33. In your early to mid to potentially late 30s
is that
right? When you become your most physically gifted.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that a million times.
Okay, so here's the deal. No matter what's going on, you know, with the radio show and all that, at 33, Stacey, I am going to, because you said that, I'm going to try to get back in the league.
Absolutely.
I will try to call back John Schneider. He might not answer my phone call, but I'll try and call him. I will see if I can, get myself ready to go. I'll be in the best shape of my life
future.
At 33.
I'm telling you, Jake, I've heard that from a million people. Like I could join the NFL at 33. I've constantly heard that. That's when you're your strongest, quickest, fastest, everything. All right, the Mariners have a big decision to make. We'll tell you what that is next. Also, what I need to know coming up in 15 minutes. Get your questions in. You can send them in now. I'll be collecting them to the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. Any question you want, what I need to know coming up in 15. Coming up next, the Mariners' biggest decision yet.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Mariners have a decision to make on not just one, not two, but three guys, Jake. Now, one of them we've already talked about. It's Yusei Kikuchi. The Mariners, by, 3 days after the close of the World Series this year, will have to decide whether or not they want to exercise a four-year option on Yusei Kikuchi. I think it would pay him $16.5-ish per. If they decline, Kikuchi has 5 days after the World Series as a deadline to decide whether or not to get that player option. It is just for 2022 at $13 million. So that is one guy they have to make a decision about. And that in itself, right, Jake, we could talk about endlessly because Kikuchi has been a guy with sky-high expectations and potential, who has maybe only recently begun to hit that pretty consistently. And even then, as Mike Salk pointed out when he was on with us, still has some moments where you think, oh, you'd like to see him, you know, that count get worked a little bit less. You'd like to see him go deeper into games. I thought last night was phenomenal. You mentioned that he was dealing 11 strikeouts, a career high. I mean, if he keeps performing like this, I don't care if he's only going through five or six. It is hard not to justify keeping him around. Two other guys, though, Jake. So before I get to them, Kikuchi, if you had to decide right now, thankfully the Mariners do not. They have several months before they have to decide.
Right.
What are you leaning right now on Kikuchi's future in Seattle?
Well, there's two aspects to this. Number one, the improvement that you say has made over the past 2 years. I mean, we had Gary Hill Jr. on with us at noon, and he talked about, and we've heard this before, about, well, if you go to year two and you look under the hood, you look under the main stat lines, and you really dive into the analytics of what he was doing, it was extremely impressive. It was elite level stuff. But the problem was is that he wasn't consistent, right, in my view. Not consistent in terms of getting himself out of jams. Not consistent in terms of having that one inning in a game where he just lost it, right? And he's giving up a ton of runs. That was Yusei's problem in year two. Well, in year three, he's brought a lot of that stuff down. And that is exciting in terms of not only having elite level stuff that we even saw last year, but that he's got better command and that he's doing better in pressure situations. So for me, I think that that is positive. If he can keep that up, I would retain him and I would give him that 4-year option. The other thing that makes me lean that way, Stacey, is the fact that if you don't, you're going to have a major gap in your starting rotation. Mm-hmm. And the Mariners at this point, I'm not convinced that they would go and adequately fill that and spend a bunch of money at this point. I don't think they would. So it's less money that you have to spend when you go out into free agency. And I think that overall, it just makes your starting rotation a little bit more stable than rather letting him walk out the door. I think he needs to.
Think of all the extra money you're making from those hot dog sales, though, DJ. You can put that towards maybe a new shortstop.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about it.
Kevin Mather, my goodness.
Mitch Haniger is the second player on here. The Mariners avoided arbitration with Haniger, signing him to just over a $3 million deal in 2021, which I think was a very small raise over the year prior. Now, he has been... He's a guy, I don't know if we necessarily expected him to return to form. When we were talking with Justin Hollander, who's the assistant GM for the Mariners, and when we talked to even Gary Hill, when we've talked to Service, all of them have been so high on Haniger. And even day one, opening day, Justin Hollander was like, I am most excited to see Haniger. I was not expecting him to come out the way that he has after almost 2 years, essentially, being out of this thing, recovering from injuries. And so he has been the bulk of your offense. He is tied for second in the MLB and first in the AL in home runs. He has been pretty much the most consistent part of your lineup, even when he's been striking out. He's also usually the guy getting on base. I mean, he's leading the team, I think, in OPS. He's up there in average.
Yep.
It may more recently be Crawford, but I mean, he has been the bulk of your offense. Look at last night's box score, right? Four hits, four runs. Well, two of each of those are from Haniger with two home runs.
Right.
So
yeah, he is your all-star, and he is one of your main leaders in this clubhouse. And I was of the belief that, look, Mitch Haniger, if he plays well, he is somebody that you could move on from, and you could package a trade, and you can continue to keep adding to the process. But the more and more I've gone on through the season, the more and more my eyes have been opened, and then I've realized that, hey, you can't trade everybody, right? And not everybody is going to pan out, and you can talk in ideals and things of that nature, but ultimately you need somebody like Mitch Haniger to take the pressure off of some of these young guys and the need to have their process sped up. Mm-hmm. And I fully believe that they should have Mitch Haniger on the Mariners roster for this year, the entire rest of the year, and next year as well. I think he adds that much to your club, not to mention that he is an all-star caliber player that that comes through big in the clutch. And I think that he is going to have another outstanding season for himself, and I am extremely happy for Haniger.
Very last one, Kendall Graveman, if you remember, in the Seattle Mariners, agreed to a $1.25 million one-year contract back in October. So he also is going to be a player the Mariners will have to make a decision on. I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, unless you're trading him, unless you're trying to bring in more guys and you're using your best bullpen piece, you got to hang on to Graveman. And I know that the bullpen can be so fickle from year to year, and so you really don't know for sure. But he has been lights out. He has been one of the best parts of your team this year, Jake.
Oh, easy. I mean, he's the best, arguably the best reliever in baseball right now. I mean,
yeah,
he has
actually
been incredible. And in the role that he plays, I think it's so valuable because he's flexible, right? And it's awesome to be able to have a closer that you can say, hey, you're regulated to the closing situations in the ninth or the bottom of the eighth. But I think the fact that you can bring him in earlier and let him go be a bulldog, let him go and be fierce from the mound, I love it. And his stuff has been insane. And one of the other things that I like about Kendall Graveman is it's not just that he is a hired assassin to come in and get things done, is that he's really taken a lead leadership role in this clubhouse, and particularly the bullpen and the way that they approach the mound, and it's led to the success that they've had so far this season. And like I said before, you can't trade everybody. Eventually you're going to have to find established veterans that you want to hang your hat on and say, these guys are the guys that I want around my young players mm-hmm. that are coming up, and they're setting the standard. And I really truly believe that, and I can't believe I'm saying this about Kikuchi, but I want all three of these guys to remain with the team right now, and it's particularly Mitch Haniger and Kendall Graveman.
All right, we have What I Need to Know coming up next. Send your questions in right now, any question you want. It can be about any of these three guys. It can be about something that has nothing to do with sports. Whatever it is, send it in. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. What I Need to Know, right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Jake, someone already without hesitating says, What I Need to Know, Jake was on American Ninja Warrior, a couple weeks ago now. When the heck is this episode mm-hmm. coming out, Jake?
Yes, it won't be coming out till the summer. So I believe that the new season starts airing later this month, something like that.
Okay,
so,
and you're going to be on. I'm going to ask Brock to do play-by-play.
Oh,
color
really?
Color commentary.
Color commentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have a nice produced up little bit about it because, you know, Curtis and I love to troll Jake. It gives us life.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll have a whole lot to troll, Stacy, but we'll just have to wait,
Jake,
and see.
From the 360, What I Need to Know. Jake, another question for Jake. What is your worst coach experience? Earlier you were talking about the kids in that Oklahoma drill. This person said, one time the coach embarrassed me in front of the team because my dad... I don't know. I lost the second half of the message. Another kicked me out during practice.
Oh, wow. Okay, I would say that my worst experience is at the time I was playing on three teams over the summer. I was training football-wise. This was when I was in eighth grade. I was training, for quarterback and all that kind of stuff. And then I was on an AAU travel team, and I was on a travel baseball team. So, obviously, I was doing a lot, and I wouldn't be able to go to every single practice, regardless of the sport, and particularly my baseball team. Well, my coach did not like that very much and sat me out. So would sit me out quite often. He was not there. My head coach was not there for one of our tournaments over the weekend. I went off, Stacey.
Jake.
Yes.
I want to hear this story. Can I pause it? I would never normally interrupt. As you know, it was my New Year's resolution, and we've talked about this, to not interrupt. I have breaking news from Jeff Passan.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen to this. It isn't just Jared Kelnick time for the M's. They're calling up right-hander Logan Gilbert, their top pitching prospect, and he's likely to listen to me. And he's likely to start tomorrow, sources tell ESPN.
What?
Big stuff happening in Seattle.
Are you kidding me?
Gilbert and eventually Julio Rodriguez will be staples.
Woo!
Again, if
Big
you are
time.
Just listening now, this is news from
Boom,
ESPN.
Boom, baby.
Jeff
yes!
Passan. It isn't just Jared Kelenic time for the M's. Jeff Passan says they are calling up right-hander Logan Gilbert, their top pitching prospect, and he is likely to start tomorrow, sources tell ESPN's Jeff Passan.
Wow, wow, wow.
The text line.
Big time news, Stacey. This is absolutely insane. Insane.
Jake, first reaction.
First reaction?
DJ, sound off too. Mike Lefkoe back
first
there
reaction,
freaking out.
Let's go. The present meets the future of Mariners baseball. This is fun. This is exciting. I am pumped up right now, Stacey. I cannot wait to watch this game, not only tonight, but I can't wait for them to get back so they can play the Cleveland Indians and watch Logan Gilbert dealing and Jared Kelenic hit a home run on his opening debut. Let's go!
Never in my life have I been so excited to see a team from Cleveland play. I am so excited to see the Mariners take on Cleveland. The text line, the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710, in all caps from every listener, all explanations. Let's go! Other things I can't say on the radio. I am freaking out, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go. Jake and I just yelled in unison. And then OMG, 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 OMG from the 509. You guys, if you missed the news from ESPN's Jeff Passan breaking 3 minutes ago, the Mariners calling up right-hander Logan Gilbert, their top pitching prospect. He is likely to start tomorrow. Now, Scott Servais will, I'm sure, be asked about this later today. And DJ, you had an important note to make because someone texted in, actually, this is a really good point. Someone texted in saying, oh gosh, I was kind of concerned that Scott Servais didn't confirm the other day that Jared Kelenic was coming up. And you said...
So pretty much what Kyle Brown and I were talking about this morning, if they're going to make it official, they have to make a move right away.
Yeah.
So pretty much someone's probably going to get DFA'd or it's moved to the 60-day DL, which prospect relief pitcher Sam Delaplane, who did undergo season-ending surgery, is probably going to get moved there. So that'll probably be the move for Kelenic. It'll be interesting to see what the move is for Logan Gilbert. This is exciting. As Dewey said in Malcolm in the Middle,
wow.
The future is now, old man.
From
Let's
the 360,
go.
And literal if, chills.
Yes, and the other 360 said they just peed their pants. Now, here's the deal. We just had a tremendous profile of Jared Kelenic and of Logan Gilbert, for that matter, as well. By Jonathan Mayo. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I highly, highly recommend going and downloading our podcast from today, the 1 o'clock hour. Listen to that interview. It is exciting to bring these prospects up, but if you listen to the words that he said about not only Jared Kelenic and his advanced approach at the plate, but if you listen to Logan, listen to his profile of Logan Gilbert, it's awesome. It is awesome stuff, and it'll get you even more pumped up than you are right now. Here's the thing that is surprising to me, Stacey, when it comes to Logan Gilbert. The thought process in the conversation was is that you were going to wait until August or sometime around then to bring up Logan Gilbert. That always genuinely confused me, and the reason why it confused me is because Logan Gilbert, in my mind, as you watched him, as you've seen his development, it has always been met with this guy has elite level stuff and we feel like he's extremely close, but we want to wait. And I think that when you're talking about where they're at right now in their pitching rotation, where they're at right now in Logan Gilbert's development, I hope this is the right thing for Logan Gilbert. But I think that this kid's got some serious stuff and I can't wait to watch this guy deal from the mound.
If you guys needed...
This is exciting.
If you guys needed anything to get you through the week, it is this. Not only on Thursday will we reportedly see Jared Kelenic making his MLB debut, we'll also see Logan Gilbert making his MLB debut, his start for the Seattle Mariners. That according to ESPN's Jeff Passan. And I might as well mention to you guys right now that Wyman and Bob will be out there. They will be out at T-Mobile Park for that game. Huge Thursday.
Let's
Shannon
go,
Drayer, Mariners Stacey. Insider, saying big day tomorrow. And this sounds right. I had heard he was 1-2
starts. The future is now.
All right. Do not go anywhere. That'll do it for Jake and I today. But Wyman and Bob coming up next, following with this story right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.